Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
If you want to practice and improve your English in a fun and creative way, please visit our website www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
From now on, we are recording.
Do we have to repeat the introduction?
I guess so.
Yeah. All right, so let's start with the introduction.
The introduction, and you will repeat your emotions.
Yes, of course.
Always in search of time for teaching and promoting, she is a reliable professional and vibrant leader. Meet one more time, Asia.
Wow, this time it's more emotional.
Always in search of time for painting and, what do you think, more painting of course, a supplier of masterpieces and exporter of joy, Landish.
Thank you.
Always in search of time to write a line, a paragraph, or if he's lucky, a text, Daniel.
That's a brilliant introduction.
Wow, it's so unexpected.
It's so unexpected.
But I have this deja vu. I think that I've heard it before. Somewhere in my head.
It's weird. Weird.
I get your thesis going on.
A suicide in Notre Dame Cathedral. Yesterday, a French historian, Dominique Venner, walked into the building, put a letter at the altar of the cathedral, and shot himself through the mouth. His reasoning was laid down in that letter. The far-right scientist, formerly a political activist, resented so much the recently adopted law allowing same-sex marriage that he killed himself to send the message to groups to encourage them to fight more earnestly for the French identity, which is going to be corrupted by the gay and lesbian wedlock. He wasn't the only one who protested against the new law. It provoked mass street demonstrations on the day of the adoption and attacks of radical groups on homosexuals.
Was he alone at that time?
Yes, he was absolutely alone. He walked into that cathedral and, well, I suppose nobody saw what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it proves that it is very easy to carry weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Side religious buildings. What amazed me in that article, besides the very fact of the suicide, is that when he did that, when he shot, well, the whole bunch of people was evacuated from the cathedral. It seems ridiculous to me to evacuate people. They were not asked to leave, they were evacuated. It was just a loner and just a suicide, but people and authorities acted as if it was a terrorist attack, at least.
But maybe they were afraid that he is going to turn into a zombie and shot the rest of them.
It is very strange that you suggest this idea, not us, yeah?
Well, yeah, but what a spectacular way to go. But the reason behind it is doesn't seem, you know.
Well, he's very troubled and problem and anxious for the future of France, not Europe or the world. I read that France is 14th country globally to legalize same-sex marriage. But I have never heard before that in any other country a man would kill himself
to send
a message to fight this tendency.
Oh, I always remember the picture that I saw somewhere on the internet. They compared two pictures from the demonstration during the when there was a segregation in the United States of the black Americans. And what happens today with the same-sex marriage, and it was written that this is how you will look in in 50 years, for example, time. So what do you think? What do you think about same-sex marriage?
Well, I have had thoughts about the influence of it, and I saw that people in Europe have already shown repeatedly tolerance towards the legalization of same-sex marriage, but now these people, these LGBT, they have to show some tolerance towards the majority. Maybe it sounds strange, but it seems to me that they have begun to think of themselves as someone special, someone who have to be treated specially, and they don't have any merits. They haven't done anything spectacular for the society, and still they demand this attention. I don't actually understand it. How would you relate to them?
I mean, I'm pretty friendly towards these people. I wouldn't. I'm not even interested in the sexual orientation of all people in general. It's their personal business. But talking about gay marriages, I think on the one hand, it is really important, even from the legal point of view. But on the other hand, it's all, well, maybe not always, but at least in Russia, it's always going to be a big deal. People will always try, even if they legalize it, even if they try to make it equal, people will always be talking about it, comparing it, and, you know, things like that. That's why I'm not even sure whether we need it.
I don't know why they need this marriage, why they need this.
Well, because if there is a couple, for example, two guys or two girls, and they want to buy a house, which they want to own together, which is legally, as I understand, not possible. So there is only one owner, one of them. So what happens if one of the partners dies? The house will be inherited by the relatives of this person, not by the partner, which is not fair. Maybe they've been saving for this house together. So, I mean, I'm not very good at it, but I guess from the legal point of view, it's quite important. I don't know if you...
So you think that the only basis, the only reason for them to get married is to inherit property?
Not only. Maybe there are some other reasons, legal reasons. That's why people who just live together as partners and don't get married, after some time when they decide to have a child, for example, they do get married because they want some safety, some, you know, guarantee of this relationship. It's one of the most important reasons, I presume. If I were in a relationship, I'm not, but if I were, and if I were thinking about having a child, the first thing I would do is ask my boyfriend to marry me, or expect my boyfriend to ask me to marry him. Because if we were talking about it and that would be our plan, I would expect that to happen, because otherwise that would be quite risky to get married and then my boyfriend would say, oh, I met someone else, sorry, but I gotta go, something like that. So
yeah. Your boyfriend is very straight in all possible ways.
I mean, just, I don't know, just, I guess there are a lot of possible risks which can happen. That's why people get married.
Again, suicide. Suicidal behavior is a disease, psychiatrists argue. Until the 1980s, the accepted view in psychiatry was that people who committed suicide were, by definition, depressed. But that view began to change when autopsies revealed distinctive features in the brains of people who had committed suicide, including structural changes in the prefrontal cortex, which controls high-level decision-making, and altered levels of the neurochemical serotonin. What happens is, some psychiatrists say, that environmental factors trigger a series of changes in the brains of people who are already genetically prone to suicide, contributing to a constellation of factors that ultimately increase risk. These factors include a history of abuse as a child, post-traumatic stress disorder, long periods of anxiety, or sleep deprivation. There is also growing evidence that genetics plays a role. Ultimately, biological and genetic markers might allow psychiatrists to better predict which patients are most at risk of suicide. And even if we can one day use biomarkers to predict if someone will make a suicide attempt, they will not tell us when.
Have you ever felt a desire to commit suicide in a scientific language and to kill yourself in simple English?
No.
I always wanted to have this desire, but I never had it.
It's interesting. While some people may have lived through events in their life that have affected their psychics and their lives to a similar degree, but one of them will think of suicide and the other will not. Maybe this, the point of view, led down in your piece of news or has sense.
Do you think that it's a weakness to commit suicide, or as they say that it is a disease?
I have always considered people who commit suicide weak people, actually. But firstly, I have never known a person who would try to commit suicide or was thinking about it at the moment of our conversation. And secondly, in one book that I read, The Cloud Atlas, one of the characters said that, in fact, suicide was the weakness, that suicide was actually an act of heroism.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Well, I cannot recall the reasoning exactly, but I believe that the author might have felt something like that in his lifetime, or someone could have told him, but that point of view was absolutely opposite to the one that I have.
I don't think it's a weakness. I think it depends on the
situation.
On the situation. If
I'm going to interrupt you, but I think that it's a weakness to yield to, probably circumstances. It would be much more a heroical act to face the whole situation.
Yeah, but you are talking about only one type of situations.
What are the other types of situations?
Just a person can get tired of living. He may have no problems at all. He may just not want to live, simply...
Out of boredom?
Yeah, he's just bored. He just doesn't want. No problems, no financial, no other types of problems. He's just bored. He just doesn't want. And that's it.
As for the heroical act, I think it's the same as with war. They say that, you die as a hero, but actually no death is heroical. It's an ugly thing. I think it's more heroic to stay alive, to live.
It is more heroic to lay down weapons than to grab it.
I agree. And I think that's the same with suicide.
From suicide to pacifism, it is so very, well, us. According to the statistics, in Europe and the USA, one person in 10 takes Prozac, which is an antidepressant. It is also known that a big part of artists resort to these drugs to overcome depression and mental blockade. The article I have chosen for consideration is an attempt to find out how antidepressants affect creativity. The article is half scientific and half anecdotal. In the first part, it is said that the effects of AD, antidepressants, have not been studied completely, let alone the fact that they are quite individual. It is proved in the second part, which is a series of life experiences told by different artists, from actual artists to writers. The whole bulk of experience cannot even be divided clearly into two parts, positive and negative. Sometimes antidepressants helped a lot but caused addiction. Sometimes the side effects were absolutely intolerable, making matters even worse than earlier. And sometimes the artist deeply regretted having taken pills, and so on. I suppose that those who have this mental blockade, they are just over-criticizing himself. They are perfectionists. They want to create a masterpiece, not less, and this is why they suffer from depression. I have never wanted to create an actual masterpiece. I have never aimed to, and never felt anything like blockade. Sometimes it was laziness, sometimes it was boredom, but I have written no more than 100 pages in total, and I suppose it is too early for me to judge.
They have this drug in Russia, a painkiller actually, just a painkiller, but it used to contain some kind of an addictive substance. It's called Pentalgin, and right now they changed whatever they have inside. But before that, I used to take it from time to time. It helped a lot when I had a headache. I noticed that I felt so great when I took it. And I worked at that time in St. Petersburg. I knew that I had to take it after I finished my work. If I took that drug during the time when I was still at work, I wouldn't be able to work for the whole day. Yeah, this was all, that was cool, yeah. But now they changed it, so it doesn't have the same effect.
Yes, because you're an addict. Congratulations.
Well, at least I'm living up to an image of an artist.
What about you, Isa? Have you taken any sort of pills?
No, I'm quite indifferent to medication. Mm-hmm. But I tried something else, which is not the medication. But it had a very therapeutic effect.
I'm sure it did.
But as for the pills, no. Luckily, I never really felt that bad to seek refuge in medication.
You weren't even curious about drugs. Well, trying, maybe.
Maybe. Perhaps I once tried something illegal.
You know, I have one of my favorite writers is Aldous Huxley, and he wrote a book, Doors of Perception. And, well, it was not the only book that he wrote about drugs. So he actually took meth and just wrote everything, wrote down what he experienced. So actually, Doors of Perception is what he experienced during, they call it trips, what he saw or what he thought he saw. So he wrote it down. Yeah.
After which... he wrote Brave New World, where there is Soma, a drug for everyone, and he wrote The Island, where people also took some weed.
So you see, the world actually gained quite a lot because of him taking drugs. So there are still advantages. The objects scientists think are black holes could instead be wormholes leading to other universes, a new study says. If so, it would help resolve a quantum conundrum known as the black hole information paradox. But critics say it would also raise new problems, such as how the wormholes would form in the first place. Scientists studied what a wormhole might look like and were surprised to discover that it would mimic a black hole so well that it would be virtually impossible to tell the difference. It seems the only way to do so is to make a daring plunge inside. That would be a dangerous gamble because if it is a black hole, the incredibly strong gravitational field inside would tear apart every atom on your body. And even if it turns out to be a wormhole, the forces inside could still be deadly. But you could use your fuel and escape from the attracting power of the wormhole and explore the space on the other side.
Oh, so thrilling.
Yes.
Yes, I could have spoken on it for hours if I had the time.
If they can't tell the difference, the only way is to go there, to go into the black hole / wormhole.
I read that wormholes, they kind of contract. They close and open, and it is impossible to predict when they open and when they close it, and we have to be an hour's time to pass through it, or a second.
So it's too risky.
On the other hand, when humanity invents something like photon engines, hundreds of years may pass, and by that time, humanity may have the necessary knowledge to handle wormholes, to define them, and maybe to pass through them, but we will never see it.
Yeah, better also to control them somehow, because as you say that they open and close unexpectedly, you can enter and probably never come back.
Well, why come back if you are a seasoned adventurer? Why come back?
Well, how do you know where you're gonna get? Is it like your destination is always the same when it opens, or is it different?
It's different, of course, and you don't know.
Imagine you are just in outer space and you don't know where to go.
You gotta watch the sliders.
Yeah, but it's the first thing that came into my mind when I read this article. So there were different universes, or
parallel worlds.
But they weren't in the outer space.
I don't think that they went into the space. The idea, the structure of the world, or I don't know, the existence, was that our world, our planet, had millions of parallel ones where the history was a bit or not a bit different. I guess I already explained that. For example, in one world, there was communism in the United States. In another world, Elvis Presley never died, for example. So some changes were really slight in some of the worlds, and in some of them, they were like really huge, like dinosaurs never died, for example, something like that. Anyway, it's the best movie ever.
I think the people who created it must become our sponsors, because we promote them almost in every podcast.
I think they are so old. They are not interested in sponsors anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sliders 2, through wormhole.
The sequel.
On the other side of wormhole. I am so very sad that I will never see wormhole pass through it, or know that something has passed through it successfully. But I will definitely write about it.
You can always imagine it. You remember we talked about those cyber. Maybe in the future they will learn how to transfer your mind, your consciousness, what do you call it, into a robot, and you will be immortal. Asa, would you want to be immortal if you had the chance?
Yes, but wouldn't want my consciousness to be transmitted anywhere. I just would want to stay young forever and never age, but don't really like the robot idea.
Well, it's either that or becoming a vampire.
Better a zombie.
They don't live forever.
Yeah, zombie, not immortal. They are decomposing.
Yeah.
But I don't like vampires. I like zombies.
I wouldn't want to be immortal.
I would, actually. On the one hand, I am afraid of what is going to be after death. Or rather, I am terrified that nothing is going to be there. On the other hand, I am so very curious about it. But not so curious as to commit suicide, you know.
Dear listeners, we have a doodle contest this time. You can visit our website and the special page doodle-contest.
Yes,
And vote for the best text for three of the pictures, or maybe create your own text.
Mm-hmm.
And someone will vote for it, and maybe you will be the winner.
Are you coming to me tomorrow?
Hopefully, yes.
I'm going to prepare something.
Don't cook anything. It's okay. We'll just make the videos. I'm a bit sick, and so I have no appetite.
I was wondering why had nobody fallen off a chair? Oh, it's because you're separate.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still have just one chair?
Yep.
Maybe next time I come to see you, you won't have any chairs at all.
Well, the one that's left is pretty good, actually.
Well, we'll see.
All right, guys, take care.
Yeah, okay. I will hear you next week, and I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you.
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.